If you want to create lasting change in your life, you have to become aware of the thoughts that you're thinking, the language that you're using, and the emotions that you're spending the most time in.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast, where we activate and inspire women in their power, in their authenticity, and in their bliss. I'm your host, Alara Sage. And today, my beloveds, we're here to talk about meditation and how simply 10 minutes of meditation every single day can change your life. No doubt, that is the truth. That is real. We're anchoring into that conversation today to learn how can just 10 minutes a day absolutely change your life, with our special guest today, Lucy, who is a national speaker, coach, and serial entrepreneur, I love that, who helps people transform their identity and rewire their subconscious mind to take massive action towards their goals. Lucy, my love, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited and grateful to be here.
And I realize I didn't actually mention your last name. What is your last name?
It's Potasnik. It's a good Polish one.
Oh, maybe my subconscious mind averted that. So I didn't have to, I'm not good at pronouncing names. So maybe that's it. Wonderful. So, my love, tell me, how did meditation first come into your life?
Well, it all started when I got scooped up into the corporate. So I graduated college. I got scooped up into the corporate world. And there I was, life in the cube. And I was working on these Excel spreadsheets that were like miles and miles of rows and cells long and wide. And the whole time I was listening, I had my headphones and I was listening to Dr. Wayne Dyer. And so despite the fact that I was trapped in the cube from sunup to sundown doing Excel spreadsheets, it was also like a very beautiful experience because I was really able to like download all of his divine wisdom. I'm taking notes. I had like notebooks of his, of just truth and wisdom. And anyways, through Dr. Wayne Dyer, I ended up stumbling upon the teachings of Abraham Hicks. And I felt, and after probably 2 years of listening to Abraham Hicks on YouTube, I found out that she was going to be in Chicago. My niece at the time was living in Chicago, and I went to one of her workshops, and that was really what kicked off my meditation journey, because I, at that point, I was implementing everything that she was teaching into my life, into my business, and I was experiencing just all of these incredible results, all of these beautiful synchronicities, miracles big and small that were just unexplainable. And so I'm like, wow, you know, what she's teaching actually works. Like, there is a formula for success. Like, energy is real. And we are the powerful, magnificent creators of our own reality. We just have to use our imagination in powerful, positive ways and stop focusing on what we don't want and begin to train our minds to focus on that which we do want to experience. And so at her workshop, she's like, what she made very clear is, if there's one thing that people can do that will automatically bring incredible results to every single area of your life, it's meditation. And I feel like a lot of people have this misconception that you have to be a monk in Asia with a bald head and like an orange robe in order to practice meditation, or that you have to sit in silence for hours on end, or, you know, you're sitting cross-legged just for hours and hours. And it's just like, no, it doesn't have to be that difficult. It's much simpler than that. And so once I attended that workshop and began meditating, It was one of the best things that I've ever done, and it's changed my life in beautiful ways. And I'm a huge proponent of meditation.
So you mentioned how Abraham Hicks was saying how that one thing will change your life. You were already experiencing, the quantum mechanics and how our imagination and our thoughts create our reality. What did meditation do for you specifically?
I feel like meditation is a very powerful tool that allows you to instantaneously raise your vibration. So, if we know that we live in a vibrational universe, we live in an attraction-based universe, and we don't attract what we want, we attract what we are. So, if we want more love, we have to pour out more love. If we want more things to be grateful for, we have to pour out gratitude. And same thing with money. If we're feeling broke or we're operating in a mindset of lack or scarcity, we really are going to be hard pressed to find money. And therefore, we have to shift our energy, shift our perspective, and embody the energy of abundance and become more generous, and appreciate all the different forms of abundance that we're currently experiencing, which is going to invite in more. So, with that being said, what meditation does is it allows you to raise your vibration. So, when you are operating out of alignment, when you're feeling down, when you're feeling sad, anxious, depressed, overwhelmed, frustrated, angry, any of these lower vibrational emotions, our power is in the now. So when we're experience what we're experiencing now is what we're attracting in real time. So therefore, if we know that our thoughts create our reality and our emotions are essentially our vibrational indicator of where we're at, then we can say, oh, well, I don't feel good, and therefore I'm not intentionally attracting the reality that I wish to experience. So therefore, all change starts with me. I need to do something to change my state, to raise my vibration, to feel better, to lift my spirit. And meditation is like a fast track solution to that. And so one of the things that like and there and the other cool thing is like there's so many different ways of meditating, and that's what I really like to encourage people to try. It's kind of like when you go into if you go to a let's say you go to like a Chinese buffet, you get to try all of the things. It's not like a one size fits all. There's breath work meditations. There's guided meditations, which might be abundance meditations or chakra cleansing meditations. There can be mantra meditations. There could be silence meditations, music meditations, anything that you can like anything. And then you get into like the Dr. Joe Dispenza meditations, where he teaches people how to do like walking meditations, which is where you're like vividly moving through the day, but in a meditative state. So, what I like to do is really encourage people to try a bunch of different meditations. Maybe try a different meditation every single day, and don't commit to doing it for like for 45 or 60 minutes, because that's going to feel overwhelming. But start small, and if you can promise yourself 10 minutes each day to just whether it's a visualization meditation or a gratitude meditation, what that does is you're releasing all of your resistance. So you're releasing all of your worries, all of your fears, all of your doubts, letting go of any limiting beliefs that you're holding on to. And when you do that, your vibration immediately begins to rise. It's kind of like if you have a cork and you hold it down in the water, once you release the cork and you release the resistance, it's immediately going to raise and bob to the surface. Our energy or our vibration is the same way. And a lot of times we're holding on to different thoughts. We have these unconscious patterns that run our lives, and they plague us with different thoughts of worry, of lack, of scarcity, of everything that could go wrong. A lot of times our subconscious minds are programmed to look for what's wrong in the world, and that's going to bring us down. And so, when we talk about rewiring your subconscious mind for success, one of the strategies that I really love teaching my students is the practice of really honing in on the morning routine and the night routine and making morning meditation just a staple, because your subconscious mind is most susceptible as soon as you wake up and right before you fall asleep, because that's when your mind is in theta state.
Yeah, and it helps you to sleep as well, which I know a lot of people have issues sleeping, as well as, you know, meditation really connects us to the allness that we are, the beingness, the isness, the oneness. And just as you said, that can really raise our vibration, because those parts of ourselves, those high vibratory energies or subtler bodies, are really coming into the physical, coming into the now, and raising our vibration. For me, when I first started meditating, you know, I had this preconceived notion, kind of going along with your myths, that I was just going to sit down and like go blank in my mind and just be all like zenned out in my head. And of course, that's not what happened. I sat down and my mind was like, oh, hey, what's up? I have so much to tell you. And just, you know, spout it off. And I remember the very first time I did it, it made me so infuriated, because it was like, I believe this was so long ago, you know, that I was failing at this. And then I realized that, you know, that's part of meditation, but it's not the goal, and it's absolutely not what you should expect yourself to just drop into right from the get-go. And I started with guided meditations and then moved into like chakra meditations, where I was focusing on my chakras one at a time and breathing and shifting energy. And so I just wanted to point that out, because I think one of the biggest things about meditation is, you know, the stilling of our mind, which absolutely occurs, and it is incredible. And the more you meditate, the more you're staying in those lower brain waves, and you're constantly connected to the stream of consciousness versus, you know, the blah 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 in your mind. However, that does take practice. We have to gift ourselves that time and space to really create that for ourselves. Was that similar to your experience?
I 1000% agree. A lot of times, so many of my students will come in and be like, Lucy, I tried meditating. I can't do it. It's not for me. I try to quiet my mind. It won't turn off. As soon as I close my eyes, my mind goes on to overdrive, and it's just overwhelming me with all of these different thoughts. And it's just like, that's perfect. You're on the right track. You're doing exactly what you're supposed to do. And they're like, I thought it's all about quieting your mind. And it's like, yes, it is about quieting your mind. But the definition of meditation means to become aware of oneself. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about goal setting, we talk about change, it's just like, if you keep doing what you've always done, you're going to have the life that you currently have. Nothing's going to change. If you want to create lasting change in your life, you have to become aware of the thoughts that you're thinking, the language that you're using, and the emotions that you're spending the most time in. And if you don't become aware of these things, you're never going to be able to essentially shift your identity and become the person that attracts the lifestyle you wish to experience. So awareness is the key to all change. All change is preceded by awareness. We can't change what we're unaware of. And that's why meditation is such a powerful practice, because it grants us the gift of awareness. So many of us have these unconscious programs, unconscious thoughts, just unconscious patterns of focus, unconscious programs of language that are running our lives. And again, we can't change what we're unaware of. So what I like to tell people is, what you want to do is you just want to close your eyes and focus on your breath and know that a thought is going to creep into your mind, because we're still alive. And when that thought creeps in, basically you just want to lovingly release that thought and then focus back into your breath. And then 5, 10, 15 seconds later, another thought's going to creep on in. And then instead of falling down the rabbit hole of, oh, I've got to go pick my kids up. Oh, and then I got to go grocery shopping. Oh, what are we going to have for dinner? Oh, I still got to drop that thing off at the post office. And oh my gosh, I forgot to call Susie, whatever it is. And even if you do fall down that rabbit hole of this, then it's just like stopping and becoming aware of like, oh, wait, I'm thinking again, I'm having those thoughts again, and then lovingly releasing them and returning back to your breath. And whether you do that 10 times or 100 times in a 10-minute period or 1,000 times, it doesn't matter. The power and the beauty of meditation is really becoming aware of the thoughts that you're thinking. And the reason why it's so important is because then when you're out and about living your life during the day, all of a sudden you're going to have these thoughts cross your mind, and you soon realize that you are not your thoughts. You are the observer of your thoughts. And then once you understand that you are the observer of your thoughts, and that you can pick and choose and be deliberate with what you're willing to accept and own and take on as your own, then it's like the whole landscape of your life begins to change. Because as you're moving through the day and all of a sudden a thought gets swept into your mind, and maybe it's a thought that doesn't serve you, then all of a sudden you're like, wait a second, maybe it's just like, I don't know, maybe it's a thought about your significant other and that you maybe got in a fight with him, and you're like, oh, what a jerk, or I don't know, maybe something random. But you all of a sudden have like a negative thought come into your mind, and then you realize that, wait a second, I don't want to think that. I don't want to feel that way. Why don't I shift my perspective and look at it from a different light? That's when you take back control of your life. And I think a powerful example for me was, I remember it was shortly after I started meditating. I think it was like 3 or 4 months after I started meditating. And I was with my boyfriend at the time. And all of a sudden we got into this argument. And the next thing you know, we're yelling at each other. And it was in that moment of like heightened emotions, but we're just yelling at each other. And I was just like, whoa, wait a second. This isn't who I am. This doesn't feel good. This isn't how I want to show up in the world. And I don't want to participate in this. In fact, I'm giving away my power to you because I'm allowing what you're saying to like rock my boat and upset me. So it was, again, the practice of meditation that had allowed me to become aware that I was operating out of alignment and that I wasn't showing up as the person that I wanted to, what felt best for me. And so that's why, as silly as, you know, 10 minutes of silence every single morning might sound, it really has profound impacts as you're out living your life day to day. And then you soon realize, oh, wait, you know, there's patterns of language that don't serve me. These thoughts don't serve me. Why do I feel this way? This doesn't, a lot of times we are so conditioned to feeling stressed or overwhelmed that we forget what feeling good feels like. We forget what like that high vibrational feeling of like freedom and excitement, of joy, of bliss, of abundance. And then when we are like the brain moves towards what it's most familiar with. And so when we practice those high vibrational feelings every single morning, it's easier for us to experience those same emotions as we're just living our life throughout the day.
Yeah, I love how you bring it to awareness, because awareness is the first step. And meditation starts to create that buffer of thought where you, as you mentioned, you become the observer of your thoughts. Because otherwise, so many thoughts are happening throughout the day that people are not even conscious of. And all of those thoughts are creating vibration, and that vibration is creating our reality. And so if you don't like what you're creating, you know, you have to back up and say, okay, what are my beliefs and what are my thoughts that are creating this reality? But if you can't connect to those, and even more powerfully break it in the moment, like you said, when you're in during your day and like, wait a second, whoa, what was that thought? Or what am I doing? I'm giving my power away to this, you know, to my partner. Or wait, like, I don't want to act like this, or I don't want to react, or I don't want to be in this energy. I don't want to feel this way, right? Like in that moment when we practice meditation and it creates that buffer where we can actually be aware of what's occurring, what we're feeling, what we're thinking, then in those moments we can pivot. And we can change, and we can choose something different. And in those moments is when it's so powerful, right? Because sometimes there can be like a disconnect between, okay, I meditate and I feel really great, and then I go throughout my day and like go back into patterns and go back into, you know, living my life. And so we need to integrate those with that conscious awareness. I really love the word awareness and that practice. For you, what do you find with your clients as far as the struggles that people have with meditation, with perhaps carving out the time, what are the primary kind of struggles that you find people have with it?
I feel like a lot of times it's just like being intentional in like guarding that space and not letting, for example, kids, children, just kind of like come in and rob you of that time because, you know, things come up. And so sometimes you have to, you know, set the alarm earlier and like really plan it in your day. I think the most important thing is that we're living intentionally, and just like creating the space, because the morning is like, if you can control your morning, you can control the rest of your day. I know sometimes people will talk about, well, should I meditate in the morning, in the afternoon, or the evening? Like, what is the best time? And I mean, well, truth be told, I would say if you're able to meditate all three times, that would be great. Even if it's only for a few minutes each time. But what I've found brings the most amount of success is doing it first thing in the morning. Because what happens is when you meditate first thing in the morning and you're intentionally raising your vibration, then it's like as you move through the day, you're operating up here, and anything that is going to cross your path has to also be at this, like has to calibrate at this higher vibration, or else you simply can't experience it. So angry people, traffic jams, bad news, like it really just, if you're operating up here, it can't even reach you. And so it's kind of like you're doing the work and you're paving the way for like a fun, happy, high vibrational day, versus if you wait until the middle of the day to where you're like already, like you've already had to deal with a couple hiccups along the way. Or if you wait till the end of the day where it's like, yes, that's nice. And to your point, like it really will help people get into a nice deep sleep. My experience with working with clients is just be super intentional and kickstart your day every single morning, make it a habit. And then not only will it start to begin to feel so good to be in that space, but then on the days that you accidentally miss your morning meditation, it's incredible because it's almost like you're living a totally different life. Because when you set the day up with meditation, it's like you're like you're in the right place at the right time, surrounded by the right people. You're moving through the day with, I call it divine timing. All these synchronicities just so happen to work out. Doors open, opportunities present themselves. Like it's just like you're in the right place every single moment of the day, and things just keep working out to surpass your expectations. And then it's like you keep doing that for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden, your alarm doesn't go off or something happens and you miss the meditation. And then all of a sudden you're like, you're moving through the day and like things just aren't working out as well as you're used to them working out, or you're just like feeling a little bit out of alignment. And it's like, it's such a stark difference that it's those days that will teach you to never miss the meditation, because you're like, I can't believe that I used to live my life at this vibration to where like bad things would just happen, when it's just like I'm used to them, oh, everything always working out perfectly. But the key to that, in my opinion, is just getting that meditation practice set in stone.
Yeah, some intentionality. And I want to say to any listeners who do have young children, you know, we can't use our children as excuses. I taught my boys when they were very little that that's meditation time. So if they did wake up, because I would wake up before them, but they had this like uncanny ability to like just know that I was up, even though like I made no sound. I'd go straight to this chair, sit there and go quiet. They would just wake up oftentimes. And so I just taught them like, okay, guys, I'm meditating. You're welcome to snuggle with me, but we're not talking. We're not, you know, we're really not moving. This is still time. And I would do it for hours. And they just learned that. And now I can shut my eyes, any whatever we're doing. And they look at me like, oh, mom's meditating. They'll like, and they'll like inform the room. Mom's meditating. Everybody, mom's meditating. Like, and
I
so they just learn like, oh, this is mom's time. This is mom's space. We, I'm not pushing them away. You know, they're welcome to be a part of it, but the rules are, you know, no talking, quiet. And they would often, I mean, now my boys, they do the time, they really soak up that energy. And they go into meditation, like they'll go into rapid eye and they just go into this really deep state with themselves. And it's really beautiful. And now they'll seek that out with me, you know, and they practice a little bit of meditation now for themselves as well. But yeah, we can't use our children as excuses. And another thing I wanted to comment on where you were saying, that your energy is up here and you literally don't experience things. It's so interesting to me when I speak to other people, they'll be like, oh my God, the world is so angry. Or people like this. And I'm like, I do not experience that. I experience very loving and helpful people. Like everywhere I go, things, there's just people like kind of go out of their way to support me, to like strangers, you know, like people are always like loving and gracious. And like, I just don't experience that. And, you know, that's again, because of the vibration. And it's an important thing to realize, because oftentimes we kind of think, well, that's just how society is. That's just how humanity is. That's life. No, it's not. Right? Like we're creating our reality and we get to choose that. So if that's a common thread for you, then you can absolutely explore that and invite yourself to shift that energy so that you are creating something different. And, you know, also the last thing I would say with what everything you said is, yes, meditation makes everything much more smoother and, you know, doors open, synchronicity, but there's still challenges in life. And what meditation does for those challenges is helps you move through them with ease, with grace, with awareness, right? With presence, which is super powerful.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, especially in the face of difficulty, in the face of struggle. Yeah. When like life's going to happen, problems are going to present themselves. But when you're meditating, to your point, you can approach these problems with a level of grace, with a level of love, with a level of understanding, with a level of peace of mind, knowing that whatever happens is going to be okay. God's got your back. You're strong. You're healthy. It's going to work out. And really, I mean, there's such a peace of mind that comes that the practice of meditation brings. And I've been listening to Bashar a lot lately. And one of the things that he's been teaching is that your circumstances don't matter. Only your state of being matters. Only the energy that you're radiating matters. And I think it's really made an impact on my life, because as you know, difficult circumstances arise, it's almost just like, well, problems need energy to survive. Problems need energy to thrive. And it's like, if you can remove all of your worry, attention, focus from those problems and just stay laser focused on the outcome that you wish to create, you can absolutely create that. Like for example, I'm involved in real estate and I have an Airbnb, and apparently there was a crackhead that stayed in the Airbnb that I didn't know about until the cleaning lady, until they checked out and the cleaning lady told me that they found all sorts of drug paraphernalia, and they had caused just all like thousands of dollars worth of damage in the house. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I was really like taken back by it. But the same day they were checking out was the same day that my girlfriend had flown in from out of state, and we had this like cute double date with me and my boyfriend. And like I had set my best friend up with his best friend, and we were on this like magical horseback ride. And I'm like, listen, despite the fact that a crackhead just destroyed my property, I'm like, I'm not going to give it my attention and my focus. I'm not going to worry about it. I know that God's got my back. I'm just going to stay laser focused, knowing that everything's going to work out, and really not worrying. And sure enough, actually just this morning, Airbnb sent me like a full $5,000 reimbursement for all of the damages that had taken place. And so I'm like so grateful and so happy. But I feel like part of the reason why that all happened was because like I didn't feed into the problem. Yes. And now I was able to replace everything. So now the Airbnb is like so much nicer and so much better because it's got, you know, new couches because they, you know, so it, so again, it's all about life doesn't have any meaning except for the meaning that we assign to it. So if, you know, a crackhead happens to move into your Airbnb, for example, just whatever negative circumstance or whatever seemingly negative circumstances crosses your path, instead of allowing that to like really rattle you, shake you, bring you down, if you can just stay, just maintain a high vibrational state, stay focused on the good, focused on the positive, operate with a heart full of gratitude and appreciation, and know that God's got your back and you only accept positive outcomes. Yeah. It's almost like reality will shift to your will. And the other thing that I loved that you had said was that so many people will be like, well, that's not my experience. You know, I experience, lack and poverty and mean people and angry people and frustration, and like that's all that they've ever known. And so to imagine a reality or a world where people are kind and things work out, like it just seems hoity-toity, pie in the sky. It doesn't seem realistic. And so I think one of the most powerful pieces of advice that I would that I like to share with people is reminding people that our outside world, our outside circumstances is a direct reflection of our inner world, of our belief system, of what, of our expectations, of what we're focusing on, of the thoughts that we're thinking. And so that's why it's so important to constantly take inventory of the thoughts that we're thinking and become aware of the language that we're using, because those are powerful tools in crafting the reality which we desire to create. And sometimes it's just the most powerful tool in the world is the power of suggestion. So if we're able to just suggest to a few people, well, maybe just try this. Maybe just try meditation. Maybe just try writing out lists of gratitude. Maybe just try focusing on the good or shifting your perspective, and then see how that feels. And then see if you experience any sort of shift in your reality, or all of a sudden, maybe happier people will cross your path or something might work out. Those are just a few things that I felt really inspired to say after listening to you.
I love the word hoity-toity. I love it so much. And yes, I love that story. Thank you so much for sharing. Because what we do often is assign it, like you said, the meaning, this is bad, this is not good, now I have to pay for this, now all these things that we're assigning the situation meaning, when I have seen it time and time again, exactly as you described. Something quote unquote negative happens, which, okay, whatever, we don't label it that. If we just allow it the spaciousness, it actually transforms into like what you experienced. Oh, well, now I have like a remodeled space. Now I have newness in the Airbnb. It can actually transform for the positive. Wow, that was extraordinary that happened. I'm super grateful because in the end, I ended up with something better, you know, of whatever that is. I have seen that time and time again. And we just have that knee-jerk reaction of, this is bad, this is wrong, I have to, and then we give it all that energy. We give it the energy, and this is bad, and I don't like it. And now we're creating that versus like, okay, let's just not even focus on it. Let's just have fun, right on the horses, be with our, you know, and focus on that love and that joy and the feeling, and then it literally transforms. I've seen that time and time again. It's so powerful. It is so powerful. Those stories, we need to spread more of those stories, because the people who don't believe in these things, that do think it's hoity-toity or think it's like, oh yeah, whatever, that's not the real world, like, they need to hear these stories, because what is the real world? It's all imaginatory. And so we get to describe what that is. We get to define what that is. And, you know, yes, it does become easier as you go through it and you start to get that validation, but you have to have the courage to try. Otherwise, you're going to stay where you are.
Yeah, I completely agree. I completely agree.
So what, I know earlier you mentioned about the breathing and focusing on your breath. Is that primarily the, because I always like to bring in actionable steps people can take now. What advice would you give to somebody who, yeah, wants to start meditation today, right now?
Oh my gosh, there's so many resources that people can go to, people can access. So YouTube is a huge resource. Honestly, you can just go to YouTube and type in abundance meditation, peace meditation, peace of mind meditation. You can do like the Dr. Wayne Dyer, the meditation, all sorts of different fun meditations. Whatever it is, like, even if like you're having, I have like a whole arsenal of meditations that if I have a productive day, like if I have a really busy day coming up, like stacked, I'll do the productive day meditation. And that one just like kind of like outlines like, oh, I'm moving through the day with ease and flow and divine timings on my side. And, or like, I buy, train and sell horses, my background's in horses. And so if I know that I have, if I know that I have a horse showing that day, then that morning I'll do an abundance meditation where I'm just like, oh, I'm inviting in abundance, wealth, prosperity, expected and unexpected money always shows up, always seeks me out and finds me, all of these different affirmations. So some of the tools that I love to instill with people are, journaling, affirmations, and really using your imagination in powerful ways, because so many times we're just conditioned to use our imagination to worry and stress about what could go wrong. And it's like, when you flip that around and you're like, well, what could go right? Like, let me just use my imagination, just like audacious, wild, fun ways, like what could go right? Then it just opens up a whole door of a whole world of possibilities. Then the gratitude, it's like when you stack, so every single night I do a gratitude meditation where I list out everything I'm grateful for the day. And then I do tomorrow's forecast. So I stack gratitude and then I do intention setting for the coming day. So anything that I want to attract, create, experience for the next day, I'll go ahead and write it. And it's just like, that's a very powerful practice, because sometimes I'll just like, I won't even have a horse sale scheduled, but I'll write horse sale ? And then I wrote it down on my intentions for tomorrow. It's like, all of a sudden I'll get a phone call from somebody out of state that's like, hey, send me the video. I send them the video. They're like, okay, we love it, we want to move forward, here's a deposit. I'm like, wow, I wasn't even expecting that. So sometimes when you just call, or sometimes if you just write in unexpected abundance, it's like every time you ask, it is always given. When you ask, it is given. Ask and you shall receive. It's just about us getting out of the way, and by getting out of the way, it's releasing all of the resistance. And what's one of the best ways to do that, just like we talked about, is the meditation. So whether you just set a timer for 5 or 10 minutes and just play some meditation music on YouTube, whether you find a YouTube channel that you really enjoy, or the other thing is every Friday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern, I do a live gratitude meditation inside of our Facebook group. It's called Transformation Nation. And the reason why I do that is because I'm like, how can I serve? How can I give back? How can I positively impact people all over the world? And I was like, well, I meditate every single day. Let me share this practice with whoever wants to hop on and listen. And so every Friday, I like to say, whether people are experienced meditators or they are just getting started and they're not really sure where to go, what to do, how to start, we have this free Facebook community, And if people want to join, it's Transformation Nation, where every single day we're pouring out just like intentional content about how to become the best version of yourself mentally, physically, financially, and spiritually. And then also every Friday you do the live gratitude meditations. So those are just like a few different tools or resources that I would encourage people to follow up on.
Yeah, that's wonderful. The journaling is so powerful because there's an active action, right? And like writing it, bringing it into physicality through writing. I love how you wrote horse sale? And that happened. And it's the lack of attachment, right? Just the question mark, curious, is it gonna, you know, opening up the space? My hands are open. I'm available to it, right? And allowing that magic truly come through. That was really, really beautiful. I love that. So how can people find you? I know you mentioned Transformation Nation, which I love the name. That's super wonderful. And are there anywhere else you want to call out people to connect with you, reach you?
Yeah, so we have this, we have a 16-week program that allows people to intentionally rewire their subconscious mind, transform their identity, and take massive action towards their goals. And what we've done is we've condensed that into a 2-hour training that's broken up into a 6-part digestible series. And normally that sells for $1,000 on our website, but we actually have a promo code for you guys. And if you go to our website, it's ultimatesuccessblueprint.com. And then the promo code is ecstatic. So for you and all of your listeners, promo code ecstatic. You can download that training at absolutely no cost. And again, it's full of all sorts of different strategies and techniques. We do talk about meditation a little bit as one of those. And just how to go from where you're at to where you want to be and what the steps look like. It's like a 3-step process, understanding energy and how to control your state, how to manage your state, and then really desire, getting crystal clear on what it is that you want to create, and then belief, because belief is ultimately what bridges the gap between where you're at and where you want to be. You can know with absolute clarity what it is that you want, but if you don't believe that you're worthy or that you're capable or that you're enough, there's always going to be a vibrational discrepancy between where you are and where you want to be. So that's really what we talk about during the 6-part series.
Beautiful. And gratitude to you for such an amazing offer. That's really delicious. Thank you so much. And it's just been an absolute pleasure to have you on here, my love. I, too, am a big horsewoman, and they've been such an impactful part of my life. I saw that in your profile. I just wanted to call that out because I love the horses. I'm super grateful for all they've taught me. And from one horse girl to the next.
That's awesome. I didn't know that. I love that.
Yeah, they taught me healing, and they were the first ones to teach me healing and communicating telepathy. So, yeah, amongst other, so much. I mean, they taught me work ethic and partnership and communication and like, oh, my God, like the list goes on and on and on, doesn't it? So thank you again, my love, so much for being on the show with us today.
I had so much fun. Thank you.
And to the audience, absolutely, please, please, please get that amazing offer, that amazing gift. Check out her Facebook group, Transformation Nation. And, you know, absolutely join those Friday meditations. Again, like she said, whether you're new to meditation or you've been practicing for a while, we can also all get together and, you know, amplify the energy of gratitude out into the world. It's so powerful. We can never underestimate the power of our vibration as a community, as a group. And as always, please share this episode with people that you think that this could benefit. And I will speak to you next Tuesday for our next solo episode. I love you all so very much.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Woman podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.